more.
Join us.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is science and technology. As per information published in the magazine and books by Benjamin Krem. We're going to start with an article by Mr. Krem's master, and it's titled Life in the New Age. Much has been written about life in the future. Much fictional writing is devoted to a description, imaginatively conceived, of the life ahead for humanity. Almost without exception, these writings describe a life and environment dominated by technology and scientifically organized systems. A chilling, mechanistic view of the future is held before the reader, who could be forgiven for preferring the present with all its uncertainties and dangers to such an inhospitable prospect. However, the future need not be so bleak and barren of human warmth as that presented by writers of fiction. That science and technology will flourish, there is no doubt. We are entering an age in which the mysteries of life will be revealed, and the energies of the universe will be controlled through the discoveries of science. Our technology, too, will become ever more sophisticated as it adapts to the challenges posed by these discoveries. We must ensure that a proper balance is maintained and that the achievements and resources of science are channeled along lines that serve rather than are served by mankind. We will help you to do this. Ours will be the task to oversee the development of the new society along paths that preserve correct balance. And note that infringes human need will receive our recommendation. Beauty and sense of fitness will be the touchstone. All that is ugly, mechanical, and harmful to the human spirit will be eschewed. The aim will be to maintain in full freedom and harmony a right relationship between man and his environment, to ensure that every technological and scientific advance is seen as serving better man's needs and knowing better the nature of reality. In this way, you may be sure, the needed safeguards will be built into the new structures. All that pertains to the enhancement of life and the beautifying of its forms will know our blessing. Every manifestation which serves the common weal will gain our support. The time is coming when man will develop a new relation to his environment. In keeping with his sense that man, nature, and God are one, he will build forms which allow him to manifest that truth. The closest contact and free interchange between all aspects of the whole will be achieved. A sure knowledge of the meaning and purpose of life will replace the present confusion and lead to a demonstration of beauty hitherto unknown. The true, the good, and the beautiful will become a reality in men's lives. All of this presupposes and depends on a change in direction from the present chaos. naught of good can emerge without a fundamental restructuring of social forms along lines more compatible with human needs. Were man to realize how much of his God-given potential is sacrificed to the present unholy order, he would delay not one moment in making the needed changes. Were he to sense but an inkling of the glory of that potential, naught would be allowed to bar his way to its achievement. The future calls man to his finest efforts, his noblest aspiration, his grandest vision. Let man build a future in which his sacrifice is not of his divinity, but of his separated self. Let him embrace his brothers in love and make himself whole. That article was published in the magazine in 1983. Now for quotes from Benjamin Creme from the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3, and this section is titled Pool of Knowledge. And it's a question and answer. So the question is, what will be the form of the pool of knowledge accessible to all, which the Master refers to in his article titled The Son of Man? This body of knowledge will be largely, but not exclusively, scientific and technological. Throughout the world, scientists and technicians, inspired by hierarchy, will publish their work in a way accessible to all. Gone forever will be the scientist selling his discoveries to the highest bidder. Gone forever will be the time when great corporations can buy up technological masterpieces and put them on a shelf so that their existing products can go on and on. We have lived through a period of a tragic waste of the world's resources that has to stop. All knowledge will go into the computer system. You can call it the internet, the World Knowledge Bank, the World Wisdom Bank, where the wisdom, the accumulated thoughts and knowledge of thousands of years of inspired writings will be available. The up-to-date inventions, the scientific knowledge, which will speed up the invention process, will go on to the same bank, which anywhere, anyone, anywhere in the world can access. Today, scientific discoveries are very often sitting in manuscript form in the scientist's study, never taken up by industry or whoever. These discoveries will be taken up because the information will be readily accessible. Knowledge from all over the world will be funneled into this bank and be immediately accessible. Then a scientist in Japan, for example, might say, "This information that came into the knowledge bank today has given me the key I was looking for, towards which my studies were moving. I need precisely that key to fulfill this." In the relationship of one area of study to another, tremendously quick advances will be made in science and technology of all kinds. We can separate pure science and technological science, but both are needed. Both are parts of the same expansion of consciousness of humanity. Great discoveries will be made and placed in the knowledge bank and become inspiring insights for groups of technicians who may not have the concept, but immediately are stimulated to produce the technology which can make use of the concept. In this way, the new technology will develop. More and more, we will develop machines which will create the artifacts which we use in everyday life. So the need for human beings in factories will increasingly disappear. Then will come a time when these same technological inventions will be created by mind, programmed by mind, with a very clear end result already foreseen by the creator of the technology. I'm moving a bit ahead now, but this is how the masters work. They themselves create wonderful artifacts, instruments, apparatuses of all kinds which do their work, which they use in the radiation of energy, experiments of all kinds. The masters do not think that they know everything. They are experimenting all the time, exploring the planet, experimenting with energy, with what happens when energy, for example, leaves in the form of a thought made by one person and is picked up by another. All of this is under constant experimental attention by the masters. We ourselves will develop more and more this kind of approach. All of this is dependent on a realization that we live in an energetic universe, that the world is made of energy, that what we call God, the One Life, is energy differentiated into myriad forms. We are entering an age in which God, creation, the nature of being, will be seen as energy and studied in every aspect. The next aspects to be studied are the etheric planes, of which there are four. When the etheric planes become a reality for the scientists, they will become a reality for everyone. Initially, scientists will probably study the fourth and third of the four etheric planes, and then the two highest. Then they will be able to study thought itself emanating from the astral plane, or the lower and higher levels of the mental plane. Thought will be seen as energy, and that energy conforms itself to thought. This is the basic occult axiom. Then we shall be able to use the power of thought to move objects and to travel instantaneously around the world. And here's another question and answer. How can the internet be transformed into a pool of knowledge? What is the difference between facts and knowledge? Mr. Prem's reply, facts are the basis on which knowledge is gained. A body of facts is meaningless without the insight of the mind, the intelligence and understanding. When the mind, the intelligence, and the understanding look at the facts and relate them, you have knowledge. Facts in relationship produce what we call knowledge. They need insight and understanding to produce useful knowledge. There is a great deal of knowledge which is not useful. On the internet today, there is a great deal of useless knowledge. How to make a bomb, for example. This is useless. They give you the facts to make agencies of destruction. What use is that? We are talking about a bank of useful knowledge, accumulated discoveries, technologies, sciences, which can inspire the workers in these fields simply by using their computers. They do not have to hope that someone somewhere will come up with that fragment which is missing from their knowledge. There it will be. When we share this body of knowledge, when everyone who has any use for it has access to it, the whole process of discovery, science, technology will be sped up amazingly. Because it will not be conditioned by commercialization, market forces, it cannot be cornered by those who make a particular brand of computer, where you have to buy the program to make it work for you. It will do away with commercial competition. Mainly, it is a bank to which anybody can go freely and withdraw the knowledge which is lying there for the taking. So that was from the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3. And now we're going to Mr. Krem's first book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And again, this is in the form of question and answer, the question being, everything that is material in this world is the spirit world solidified, it's a quote. I'm still floundering as to what is meant by that. It is true, there is an ancient occult axiom which says that there's nothing in the whole of the manifested universe but energy in some relationship or other, some frequency or other. Modern science has proved that energy and matter are interchangeable. So, modern science has come to the same conclusions as the ancient occult teaching about the nature of reality. This discovery of modern science is on par with any great revelation which has come to us from the religious field. Christ said, God is love. This is a fact. It is an experiential fact for many people. God is energy is equally a fact. Love, what we call love, is a great energy, a great magnetic, all-pervading energy. Energy can be materialized. Sunlight is energy. Sunlight materialized is what we call matter. Matter is an aspect of energy. It has to be. It is a question of the rate of vibration of the particles which make it up. Modern science has shown that this table, which looks like a fairly solid job, at the same time is made up of tiny particles of energy floating around a nucleus, and these are in a certain configuration which makes it wood. In another configuration, it would be metal. In another, a human body. But it is all energy. It is occultly and materially true. And we're back to my transmission volume 3, another quote from Benjamin Cram. The quality of our lives will depend on our adaptability to the necessity to change and the direction that change takes. Our idea of science will broaden. You cannot have science without religion, for example. By religion, I do not mean a set of beliefs, but an understanding of the laws of life and love. That is what religion is. It is not taught by the churches because they do not understand it. They think that religion is to do with belief, but it is the science of the human spirit. Science means knowing, and it is the knowledge of the qualities of the divine life in humanity that creates what we call science and religion. They are one and the same. The new science will depend on the religious understanding of the laws of life and love. The new religion will depend on what we would more exoterically call science. The split between the two is artificial and was in fact brought about by the religious groups because the growing science seemed to question the validity of the religious outlook on life. It only questions religion insofar as the religion is based on belief. But it should not be based on belief, but on knowing the laws of life and love. Science is to do with the implementation of the laws of life and love. When these two come together, we will have the marvels of the future. I'd like to finish with a message from Maitreya. This is message number 74. Good evening, my dear friends. I have come once more in this way to tell you that my mission proceeds as planned. Naught hinders the progress of this holy work, and soon, for yourselves, you will see the fruit of my efforts. The time has come to begin the process of change, to transform the life of men in such a way that the God in man shines forth. This, my friends, is not difficult of accomplishment, for within you all sits such a divine being. My task will be to evoke from you that shining light and take you to its source. My masters work also in their various centers, and through them proceeds the plan. My work is to organize that plan in such a way that the least cleavage results. Much that is loved must go. Cling not to the old forms. Much will depend on man's ability to renounce these outworn structures and to create a new and simpler world. Remember this. Forget not that I come to change all things. My coming brings peace. Likewise, my presence brings cleavage. My sword, the love which I am, will separate all men, will show the true from the false, will clear the way for the new light which I bring. May it be that you can withstand this change and accept my light. Many times before have I told you that my appearance is nigh. Look then carefully, my friends, and miss me not. My blessing goes with you all. Thank you for listening to the program. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.